Hi, if you record your name and reason for calling, I'll see if this...
Hello?
Hello, am I speaking with Darren?
Yeah, right.
Hi, Darren. It's Aaron giving you a call from INS Law. How are you, sir?
All right, aye, good, thank you. Yourself?
That's good. I'm very well. Thank you for very much for asking, sir. I'm just giving you a call just to see if you are ready to proceed with your inquiry to the Scottish Redress Scheme at all.
Aye, I had a wee look into yourself. Seemingly, you're genuine, aye. I spoke to my girlfriend about this. I've never spoken to anybody else about it, ever.
Yeah, of course.
I've tried what I think about myself. I think the first thing I'd have to do is get my records, because I was really young when this happened. I'm talking about, like, 5 or 6, maybe even younger, eh? So, I mean, it's just partial kind of... memories I've got, eh? It's very blood. I try to forget most of my life, eh? Come on, I mean, even bringing it back up, it's no easy, eh? I mean, I couldn't give you a name of anybody. I can remember one psychiatrist that used to pin me down and hit me quite regularly several times, eh? But I couldn't remember his name. I didn't think I was even able to read at that time. I can only remember he had a badge that said DR something. And I remember that was a doctor. Kind of knew that because he had a badge, eh?
Yeah, of course. Well, so just for your own reassurance, Darren, we obtain them care records for you.
Right.
And in regards to not having, obviously, the best of memories, we completely understand that, obviously, you know, people genuinely, you know, can brush this aside and draw a blank towards it. All we really need from yourself, Darren, is just to recognise, for the redress scheme to recognise that you have suffered forms of abuse. It doesn't have to be exactly going into detail as to what.
Because, I mean, there's no way I would go into a court, eh? Because one of yourselves would tell me up for asshole paper, eh? He would.
What was that, sorry?
I'm saying if I did go, I couldn't go into a court or anything like that, eh?
No, so you don't go through any courts, any hearings, or nothing like that. This is all dealt with by a panel of 3 members, all done behind closed doors, from the Scottish Government. And what they do is what we present to them, which will be the best case we can possibly present. They then look at that story of yours and recognise the abuse that you've suffered and the effects it had on you then and any effects it does have on you now.
I'm still suffering now, Paul.
Yeah, of course, which is completely understandable. So they'll take that all into consideration and then award you an amount of compensation that they feel is reasonable. And then if obviously we then come to you with that offer, and if obviously we get the legal advice behind that as well, and if we feel you're entitled to more or we could fight for more, then we can always send the resubmission to them. They give us a 6 weeks to accept the offer or to counter negotiate the offer. So we do 99% of the work, to be honest with yourself. That knows we need is just bits of your time in regards to, like, you know, like today, just tell me about your care settings and the abuse that you feel or what you can remember you have suffered.
Right.
Further down the line in the process, we'll once we've got your records back, one of my team members on the investigations team, they'll be in contact with you to do a witness statement, and they'll be able to go through your records with you, and then within that witness statement, it'll then jog your memory back and be like, oh yeah, no, I remember that situation, and they'll be able to go into more further detail once we've got them records for you.
Because I've got a rough summary of my medical records. I was in psychiatric care when I was roughly about 5 days.
Yeah.
I was in hospital before that, and I've never told anybody this apart from my missus. They held me down and basically stuck an irrigation system up my arse, eh? Came like quite a few times, eh?
Yeah.
And I never spoke to anybody about this, but as I've got older, the only thing I keep asking myself and all is, why did they not just give me some laxatives?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I'm talking about 3 nurses coming 2 or 3 times a week to drag me along to a hangy, and people coming in and out and watching it like it was a kind of show or something, eh?
Yeah.
I've got some really horrible memories of it, Ian.
Yeah, of course.
That wasn't even the care system, that was in a hospital.
Yeah.
So I didn't even, that's another thing I was going to ask you. Would that have to be something separate if it was through the hospital?
Yeah, well, we'll be able to obviously dive into it, right, you know, all the time about your care, you know, with you.
Because
and
I never even, I was in there for abandonment issues with my ma, and
yeah.
There was a clue in the name. It was supposed to be psychiatric care, and care, but there was no care involved at all, Well, not for me, anyway.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that. Well, as I said, Darren, we can get the ball rolling for you today.
Aye, please.
And obviously start this process for you. So what I'll do is I'll just grab some genetic details from you just to get started.
No bother.
And to comply with data protection as well. So I've got your name here as Darren Watt. Have you got a middle name at all?
Andrew.
Andrew. Perfect. Okay. I've got your email address here as darren-watt@hotmail.co.uk.
That's me.
Perfect. And what's your date of birth, please, Darren?
18/2/1972.
And your home address?
It's flat 2, 12 Valley Hill Terrace.
Okay, could you spell Barley Hill for me, please?
Yep, B-A-R-L-E-Y Hill, Barley Hill. And that's E-H-6.
Yep.
8-S-H.
8-S-H.
Right. Foxtrot Hotel.
Okay, yeah, I've got that here.
The two worst accents in the world, A thick leaf accent and a scouser.
Two of the best accents in this country, isn't it?
Aye.
Okay, put that one there for you. Put that one there. Okay, perfect. And in terms of the communication preferences with yourself, Darren?
Email or phone, I have a problem with this phone for screening, so you're probably better sending an email. But don't mind if you phone,
Yeah. Well, majority of our communication with you will be by phone. We'll only send you a text message if, obviously, just to give you a notification that you've missed a call from us. And then we email you with some documents that we need you to sign after this phone call.
No bother.
Okay. And is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of?
No.
No, okay. Would you like to nominate a beneficiary for your application?
Sally Putkus. That's my long-term partner,
Okay. What was the surname, sorry, sir?
Putkus, P-O-R-T.
P-O-R-T, yep.
E-O-U-S.
E-O-U-S. And what's Sally's date of birth, please?
Well, it's the 30th or the 12th. 75, I think.
Okay, perfect. And have you got a mobile number for Sally, please?
If you just give me a minute.
Yep, take your time.
Go to contacts. So go back. The number's 078.
078.
67 650
245. Perfect. Okay. And would you like to add a password to your account for further protection, just in case anyone tries to impersonate ourselves or?
I'll go. My daughter's nickname's Tornface. I'll go with that, please.
Yep. Spell that for me, please.
T-O-R-N, sorry, T, Oscar, Romeo.
Yep, T-O-R-N.
F-A-C-E.
F-A-C-E. So, torn face.
Aye.
Yeah, okay. It's just so, because we've been made aware for these past couple of weeks. There's some law firms out there that are either impersonating ourselves or they're giving you a cold call and basically bribing you to say, oh, you've already spoken to us in the past. And it's just obviously it's completely not legal to do, but it's a hard process to try and get them caught as well. So just for extra protection with ourselves, we'll you know, in future calls, we'll confirm your address and date of birth with you, which completes data protection, and we'll confirm that password, so then you'll know you're speaking with INS Law.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you send me some kind of, I don't know, confirmation of date, just so I can,
what was that, sorry?
You'll be sending me some kind of form or email a day anyway, so I'll see some kind of thing with your office statements and all that on it, just so I can, you're legit, mate. Does that make sense?
Yep, of course, that's not a problem. So, yeah, I'll be sending you the documents after or you know, during the end of the call. But, yeah, we've also got our website as well, and we've also got our regulatory numbers of solicified numbers
right.
that have been registered.
I gave you that quick web check last week, just to make sure you use work legit in.
Yeah, of course. No, I understand. Okay, Dan. So, am I able to grab the name of your doctor's surgery, please?
Yes, it's Leaf Links Medical Centre. And if you give me a minute, I'll just get the right address for you. I think it's 5 Hermitage, East Hermitage Place, but just to make sure. 5 East Hermitage Place.
5 East Hermitage Place. In Leaf.
Yes, Edinburgh. Yeah, that's
EH68AA. Yep, okay. And what was the name of the doctor, sorry?
Dr. Wilson.
The name of the surgery?
Leaf Links Medical Centre. Links Medical Centre, that is. Sorry, no Links. Links Medical Centre.
Yep, okay, I've got that there, yeah.
And I've just moved into that surgery because I've just moved to about 3 months ago. But
I've
not really got much more information in a basic patient summary from my last place. But I'm registered with them now, so the information just on the system, it's not just quite come over yet, mate.
Yeah, yeah, it follows you, doesn't it? So
But I was there as a kid when all this happened. That was my local surgery. It's no more same doctor now, he's D-Day, but that was my surgery way back when I was a kid. I've come full circle, if you like, eh?
Yeah, I understand. Okay, and do you remember the address that you lived in prior to being placed into care?
Yes, 8/1 Lockend House.
Is that
Wrestling Gardens, I think.
That's the one, yeah.
24 Wrestling Gardens, I think, if you want the number, but I'm not too sure about that. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, it actually is, 24. You done good there.
Aye, I can still remember the phone number.
Like your old house number?
Aye.
Yeah, some things just do stick with you, don't they?
Aye.
Excuse me. And was you known by any other names during your time in care other than Darren Watt?
No, always Darren Watt.
Okay. And am I able to grab the names of your mother and father, if known, please?
Yes, my dad's name was William Watt.
What? And your mother's name?
It was Margaret Riley. Margaret Cameron. But she changed it. It was Margaret Riley, and then she changed it to Cameron. But I think when she married, it was Riley. R E I L L Y.
So it's double L, is it?
Aye.
Yep, okay, that's absolutely fine. The only reason why we ask for them names is some local institutions authorities, they can buy your records.
Aye.
Yeah, they can file your records in the names of your parents, but you've been under the age of 18 at the time. Some don't, but obviously some institutions and authorities do. So it's just, we have them names on file in case they do need to be provided.
No problem.
Okay, Dad. So I do understand that discussing experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting. But please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call, okay?
Aye, no problem. It's just brief instances, I can imagine, eh? Ken, it was constant, eh? Ken, it was almost like the first place I was in, it was run like a fucking boot camp, I think. You know what I mean? They were pretty strict. And there were all their kids there as well. I would say I was probably one of the younger ones. And the staff, they let the older kids do what they want, eh?
Yeah.
If they wanted to battle, you'd sit and watch. Well, they've done it.
I can imagine that. There's some not so nice stories that obviously I've heard of.
The only thing, I'm glad that I wasn't sexually abused by anybody in the places here. I was abused in the hospital, like I tell you, with the washout system that they were doing with me, the irrigation system. But my, I know some of my pals that went through it, they had a lot worse than me getting in some of the places. I was lucky, I was only in it for a short time.
I understand that. Well, just can I just clarify, do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of?
No.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do for you today, Dadden, is I'm going to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you and the options that you have around the scheme. And then I'll also explain how INS Law operates on your behalf and discuss our funding and fees. And then what I'll do is I'll gather the initial information to assess on whether we may be able to assist you.
Right.
Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2024. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm to represent you. But the three options that are applicable to yourself is that you've got option one, you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself, without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. So you'd be sent out a pack and by yourself be able to obtain your records, present your own evidence and go through this process yourself. Option two is that you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they're paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. So under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you are successful or not with that application. And they also take a success fee on top of that as well. Option three, being ourselves, we are INS Law, so we do not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us, you would be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. At this stage, can I just confirm if you have instructed any other law firms to act on your behalf?
No.
No? Okay, that's fine. Okay, so our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. What that means for yourself is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees will consist of basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment, so you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%.
Okay, understood.
Okay, so it is important that I make it clear that we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award that the scheme may award you, but the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I will explain in greater detail during this call for you. Okay, so if instructed, we can assist with whether you are eligible to apply to the Redress Scheme. We will gather and review the evidence and prepare and submit the application on your behalf. We have the full correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme, so we'll always advise you on any offers made further down in the process. And we'll also explain the statutory waiver to you if an award is offered, whilst also offering any assistance with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme. What that statutory waiver is for you, Dadden, is that if a redress offer is made, we will always fully explain the waiver to you before you decide whether to accept anything. But it is important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters being dealt with. Okay, so you'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Uh-huh. Okay, understood.
Perfect. Excuse me. I also do want to reiterate to yourself, Dadden, that you do have a right to cancel. So you, if you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements, and you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst your cancellation rights still remain. So if that was the case, Darren, would you like us to start work straight away for you?
Aye, please, aye.
Yep, of course, we can get that ball rolling for you, no problem. Okay, and so we are able to formally act for you, we will require proof of identity for verification purposes and also to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. So therefore, we will need a copy of photo ID and proof of address dated within the last 3 months. If no photo ID is available to yourself, then we can also accept 3 forms of proof of addresses dated within the last 3 months as well. But following on from this conversation, I can send you this information via email or WhatsApp, wherever is convenient for yourself, just in relation to the acceptable forms that we do accept.
No problem. I've got my passport on the thing, and I've got a letter on file because I've just had to deal that with the doctor. So
yeah, that's
my email anyway.
Yeah, that's perfect then, Dan. Thank you. Okay, so what I'll do for yourself now is I'll just go through them care settings with you. So what we need to focus on is the care settings that you have unfortunately suffered these forms of abuse in. Okay, so the 4 types of abuse that we're looking at, or what the redress scheme look at, sorry, is neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse.
Yep.
Okay, so can you name me the first care setting that you was placed in where you unfortunately suffered this any forms of abuse, please?
I think it was Fort Teviot. I think that was the name of the place.
What was the name of that, sorry?
Fort Teviot. It was like a care home in Edinburgh, eh?
Okay.
It was up the Braid somewhere, eh? It's up the south side of Edinburgh, if you like.
Fort Teviot House.
Fort Teviot, aye, house, aye.
Yep, okay, I've got that here.
Aye. I've never seen it on any of the redress things. That was another thing I thought, oh, well, because they do come up quite regularly on my thing, because I've looked into it before, I think, the AI on Facebook just sends you Mary it, doesn't it, really, so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I can see that's in Edinburgh here, too. Morden Vale Bank.
That's it, aye.
Yep, okay, that's absolutely fine. And what, can you remember roughly how old you was when you was placed here?
I think it was before school, eh, so about 5 or 6, something like that.
Yeah, so about 1977.
Right.
And can you remember how long you were there for?
It felt like about a year, but I didn't care, mate. I was that young, eh?
Yeah, of course. That's fine. Okay, and after Fort Teviot, where was you then placed?
I think I went back in and out of the hospital, just back and forward to that place or the place like it. I can't really remember. Even before then, I was in the hospital, I'd say about 3 or... when I was about 3 or 4, so it would be maybe 1975. I've just got very vague recollections of going back and forward, eh?
Yeah, okay.
I'd be useless, I didn't even think I was a reading age or a writing age at that point, eh?
Yeah.
It's all kind of mashed together, isn't you?
Yeah, I
one big
that.
Nightmare, mate, eh?
Yeah. I'm just getting some clarity on whether psychiatric hospitals are part of the redress scheme. Yeah, so some actually are.
Because it was a hellhole, and I'm sure it wasn't just me that has got problems. I know some kids were treated a lot worse than me. I've seen it. Okay, and that's why I need to just keep my mouth shut and try no saying out. It just fade into the back of the background.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand.
And I think because I was so young, I maybe missed a wee bit of my state, but the older kids, I mean, I've seen Burns getting held down and just slapped a boot, pinned with their arms up their back by adults and just slapped to submission, basically, eh?
Okay, and excuse me, and you can't remember the name or of the hospital or maybe even where it was situated, and I had a search for you.
Els Hospitals. I've got a funny something. Were you just saying that? That's popped in my head. Els Engels Hospital.
Els.
It was like an old Victorian hospital. And I remember it had like a kid's school in the middle or something.
Yeah.
A teacher that came. I went a couple of times, I think, but most of the time I never. I was in hospital when I was young, early enough for my appendix and my
pounds out. So it's all kind of mailed into one big hospital kind of mash up, eh? You know what I mean? It's hard to, for me, I buried it so deep in my memory, it's hard to pull it all out and put it together, eh? I think, to be honest with you, I'd be no good, you'd have to go with my medical records, basically, or my care records.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And you said it was Ells, England?
Ells, Ingalls, I think, or Ingalls, Ells, Ingalls Hospital. Ingles, Ingalls.
Okay, because I'm just going to do a little bit of a background search and just see what can come up. What area would you say that would be in?
It was up near Blackford Hills in Edinburgh, so that's Morningside, up that area, kind of. So that'd be south. No, north. No, it'd be southwest, maybe. Edinburgh, southwest Edinburgh.
And you said you remember it being like an old Victorian...
Aye, type hospital, aye.
Okay, so one that's... Yeah, so one that's coming up the most and then one that's kind of corrected me is, so you've got Craig's House.
Uh-huh.
And then there's Ells Glen, Ellen's Glen House.
No, I'm not.
But that's saying unlikely. The place was before 1999.
It must be, you'd have to check my medical record. Sorry, that Ells and Gold, it sticks in my head. And I can remember seeing it at a, like grounds in the middle, and had like a wee bungalow that it turned into a kind of like a wee schoolroom, if you like. Eh? I can remember being sent here during the day a couple of times. Eh?
Yeah.
But again, I can't remember if that was for when the tonsils were, for when it was the first kind of washout things that they were doing with me. Eh?
Yeah.
The hospital, they were thinning me down and basically sticking an irrigation system up my arse.
Yeah. Okay, and this psychiatric hospital, was that? Would you say that was before or after Fort Eviot?
Yeah, I'd say it was before.
Before,
so it was maybe 4 or 5-ish round about then, because it was before school, I think.
Okay, so for Fort Eviot, you said you was about 5 years of age, so put 1977 for that,
yeah, four
but I put 1976 for this. Okay, and then after the so you've gone from the psychiatric hospital to Fort Eviot. Can you remember anywhere after Fort Eviot?
Yeah, I went back into the normal school system again. I think after about a year or system, but I was that. I'd seen that much by then, and was that thing here that I started being violent because it was the only thing I knew.
Yeah,
and I think I'd learnt that in there. I was a single child, so I didn't really have to be violent with anybody. I didn't, like, brothers, came what it's like, brothers going to fighting each other, eh?
Yeah, you're obviously taking that out.
At an early age, I didn't have that, eh? I didn't have to fight for toys or anything like that, so I was like a lamb to the slaughter, eh? You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But I still had quite a strong personality, so I wanted what I wanted, but I just got battered every time I opened my chops, basically, in that place. That's all I remember, anyway.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so once you was back into the school system, did you then fall back into any other care systems or anything?
I didn't last long, mate. I think by about primary four or something, I'd been expelled several times with behavioural problems, and I was back in a residential school, but school for special needs. I don't know if you'd say or kids with behavioural problems, maybe. Yeah. That was a bit rough, but I had a good teacher in there that kind of sorted me out and got me up to classroom speed and got me back in primary school before secondary.
Okay.
Because
so then
he knew if I'd got past where at her point and I'd went to a secondary special school, that was it. I was fucked.
Sorry
for my language, but
she
worked really hard and done a lot to get me a place and get me back up to a level of learning that I could go back into, if you like.
She
knew I was clever enough to do it, if you like.
That's really nice of her.
I was just raging. Well, what happened to me, I think, more than anything else. Eh? And the problems I already had with my mum and that fucking off when I was a kid, eh? Basically, it just compounded it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I do. I completely understand that. And so it's good that you obviously had that turnaround, and it's really good.
I mean, I didn't really come out the other end yet. I was maybe in my late 20s, eh? You know what I mean? Until I really started to try and deal with some of it, eh?
Yeah, no, do I understand? Okay, so then would you be happy for me to go ahead with just these two care settings then?
Aye, please, because that's about it though. I can remember. I think there's another one in there somewhere, but I was very young, eh?
Yeah, of course.
And I think if anything, you'd have to see it through my medical records, and you might be able to add to it, but it's just. So about the age of about 3 to about 6, I think, was when it basically may state happened, eh?
Yeah, no, of course, I understand. Well, again, if when we go through your care records, we'll be able to obviously go through and add any additions if need to.
Would I be able to get a copy of them? Or if it's done, or do you keep them? Sorry, I'll interrupt you, but one of the things that where these records will be kept and what happens to them, eh?
Yeah, no, of course. Well, yeah, Dan, as you've stated there, you're more than entitled to a copy of these records. They're your records. We just obtain them on your behalf. But if you would like a copy of them, obviously, then yeah, we can get them sent out to you either, electronically or by post. Whatever's easier for yourself.
Well, electronically, sign me. They know what to kill another dolphin on my behalf, eh? Come on, I mean, that's fine.
No, fair enough. I understand. Yeah, well, to be honest, we are a paperless company. Obviously, we can make some exceptions, but, 99% of our stuff is paperless.
No, it's a lot easier for yourselves to just PDF it and send it over. Pal, I don't mind it coming that way, no problem.
Yeah, perfect. Well, what I'm going to do for you, Dan, is I'm just going to, take a little bit of a brief description from each of these two care settings just to try and gather that information so the scheme can recognise that you have suffered forms of abuse, okay? Even if you don't remember the events and you just physically tell me I was physically abused by a staff member, that's enough evidence.
Right.
If you remember the details.
I've got specific memories of the medical issues anyway in the hospital, eh? Them coming in and grab three nurses coming in and grabbing me, take me this. It was like a cleaner's cupboard or something. It was a wee tiny room, eh? With a bed and all the equipment set up, and them basically pinning me down and sticking a hose pipe up my arse, eh? And then people coming in and watching, like loads of and muttering in the background and everything, eh? Talking about their day in general while they were doing this to me, eh? Getting like I was a bit of meat or something. It was, when I think about it now, it was terrible, eh? And I think they drugged me as well because I went almost no unconscious, but just, I don't know if it just most, I'd fought that long, I didn't have any fight left in me because I fought them all the way along there, eh? As soon as they come in the room, I was under the bed and I was biting them. Anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just let them take me in the back in that room and doing that to me again because it fucking hurt. And they just kept doing it, eh? And years later, I just thought, nobody ever come and explain to me why, or not even my dad or that. I didn't even kind of, I never spoke about it to anybody.
Yeah, okay, I understand that.
And I didn't care if it's something that he's given permission to do, or, but I didn't understand why they done it. Even now, you know what I mean? I still get the nightmares, the nurses coming in while I'm sleeping and try to drag me along to this
this back to this fucking room.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be going for like an hour.
Okay, this happened.
I did have problems going to the toilet and that when I was younger, but I didn't think it was that, but I didn't think it... Looking back at it, I don't think it hung you that bit then. That's my interpretation, mate. I don't think nobody tell you anything in the '70s. You were just in the corner, eh? And it's not like now they explain to kids and stuff, eh? Nothing was explained to me, so I don't think.
Yeah, okay.
And that happened at least 3 or 4 times.
This procedure?
Aye.
Right, okay. That's
over the course of, it felt like maybe a week or something, but it was maybe longer, eh? I don't think there would have been anything left inside me after the first one, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I didn't, that's another thing, my missus has worked in the hospital, that's what she didn't understand, eh? She could maybe see them doing it once, but why would they come back and do it again and again?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, that is the part that is, you know, struggling to try and understand, isn't it?
Right. Was somebody getting some kind of kick out of it? Again, that's the bit that gets at me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you didn't even think, like, people would think of things like that. As you get older and you realise how some people are, eh? You know what I mean? You start to wonder, eh?
Yeah, no, of course. I understand that. Well, what I've written for you here, Dan, is... I remember 3 nurses coming in and grabbing me, taking me to what looked like a cupboard type room, and they stuck something up my bum, which felt like a hose pipe, whilst being pinned down, and this really did hurt. I also remember other nurses / doctors coming in and watching. I never understood why this happened to me, and I've suffered with nightmares since this. This happened for around about an hour, and it felt like torture. I struggled to understand who gave permission for this, as I was taken away from my parents, so I understand it wasn't them who gave permission for this to happen. This happened around 3 or 4 times in a week.
Right. And yep. It was a wee room, so people were like almost like taking... You couldn't get everybody in at once, if you like. So people were coming in and looking. I could see them and asking questions, and then they were going out. It was like a swing door, so I could hear it coming and going.
Yeah.
It felt like a revolving door, people coming in. It's just, I felt like I was on a slab or something. Like a medical, some kind of medical experiment for people to watch. And I still wake up and I call straight away now when I get them. I didn't get them as much now. This, talking about this, has brought up off again.
Yeah, no, I do, to be honest, Dan, yeah, I do understand that. That is, it's quite common for you to be feeling that way. And I'm only saying that because obviously I deal with clients the exact same as you who haven't really spoken about this, especially, you know, man to man as well. You know, me being a man myself, you know, I'm the same as you.
No, I understand.
I don't want to face, but it's in the back of my mind. And it's hard to face.
Aye. You must want to go home and just have a shower or something there. You know what I mean?
No, just
humanity's like that, eh? I suppose maybe
yeah.
You come from the fact that you're helping people, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do. I have a massive, you know, positive, you know, impact factor on, you know, helping someone like yourself be able to get this, you know, off your chest, get the story heard for you, because it's something that you've built up for so many years.
And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think there was any recourse because, I mean, it was bad, but there's nobody I can actually, there's no one person I can point to, you know what I mean, and say, well, they done it to me, if you like, eh?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's like the nursing staff as a whole, I can't even remember any of their faces or anything, so just, when I try and picture them, I can't even see them, I can just see the white uniform, if you like, coming in. And them being nice, I knew any time, and it's affected my whole life. Any time anybody tries to be nice to me,
yeah, no, of course, I understand that, Dad. And it's something to obviously, yeah, it's facing the reality of things, isn't it?
Aye.
But I just want to obviously reassure you that this, what you're doing, this is the hard part, is opening up. Once you get off the phone to me, I can 100%, I'll bet you £100, you'll sit there and you'll feel so much lighter that you've spoken about it. And that's the biggest thing that you can do, is speaking about this experience, keeping it in for so long. That's the easy part of not talking about it and not facing it, but actually facing it, telling somebody and telling a law firm that wants to help you and backs you and nobody else. That's what you could, when you get off this phone, you'll feel them benefits. And I can honestly promise you that. It's a massive, you know, it's a massive reliever for you. So I do want to thank you for your courage and your bravery in opening up to myself. I really do appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move on to Fort Eviot House. It's going to be the last care setting, and then we'll be coming to the end of our conversation in order for you to sign these documents, okay? So just talk to me about your experiences from what you can remember at Fort Eviot House.
I went in there and it was kind of, for what I can remember, I think you had to make the bed in the morning. It was quite almost like a shopkeeping kind of attitude.
Yeah.
That's how I remember it. I maybe remember some of the staff talking about, hey, you're here now, it's a shop treatment and all this nonsense, saying you've got to do a bed walk and you've got to do this. And then it just, other kids bullying you and picking you while the staff watch, basically, eh? Kind of like older, and I'm not talking like maybe just a couple of years, but I was just easy meat, eh? It felt like I just got slapped about for days.
Yeah.
By other kids and staff just stood and watched, eh? If I kicked off about it or said anything, normally what happened is I'd get the shape, sorry, I'd get battered, and then I'd lose my temper and kick off in some way at some inanimate object, probably. Or just be in the middle of the flare screaming, eh? In my temper, I didn't kind of get my temper out, or what did they, when my temper did come out. But I wasn't, I didn't want to hurt anybody else. I just went into a kind of like a rage, if you like, eh? If anything, I'll never really hurt myself, not anybody else.
Yeah, of course.
And I've been pinned down and basically slapped with you pinned down with your arm up your back. That was what I seen most and what had done to me in the most. And your legs or your ass slapped till you basically you shut up, eh?
Yeah.
Become compliant.
Was that being physically restrained by the staff members?
Aye, that's pinned down, eh? With your arm up your back till it hurt. I'm not talking about just held, I'm talking about so you had to stop moving or it's got to break.
Yeah.
And then your legs or your arms or your ass would be slapped until basically you calm down, eh? You know what I mean? But that just made me worse, well, until eventually, again, the temper just leaves you, you run out of energy, eh?
Yeah, of course.
And I don't know how many times that happened to me over the time I was in there, but it was a lot. Eventually, after a couple of months, you learn to just see them in the background and try and say fuck all, eh?
Yeah.
Just try and avoid everybody. Eventually, I think they seen I was struggling and they kind of put a body nurse kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's how they would, looking at it now. At the time, I just thought she was fucking somebody that, the whole place that gave a fuck, you know what I mean? I didn't get any, and she took me for days out and things. That was near the end of it, but I think they went back to my, nobody's ever killed me, but I think they went back to my dad and I said, I'm getting eaten alive in here, you know what I mean? So you have to take them back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's, again, I don't know. Give it tough to look into the care records, but I'll inspect it.
I will do. I definitely will have a look into them records once we receive them back.
That's about it. I mean, I wasn't, apart from the other bailings, slapping you about or taking things off you or came up with anything like that. I mean, I wasn't sexually abused or anything there.
Yeah.
And I never seen anybody else being hanging, but I did see other kids getting slapped or battered or held in the same position as me, basically.
Yeah, okay.
So I kind of knew if you didn't keep your trap shot, what you were getting, eh? Okay, even as a kid, I'd worked that out.
Okay. Well, I've added what you've told me into that little bit of a brief statement for Fort Evier.
Yep.
And you're gonna receive these documents out on an email very shortly. But what I can do for you, Dan, is there's two types of payments that we can go for. So there's a fixed payment of £10,000, and that's just solely a fixed amount regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. Or
uh-huh.
There's an individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by that panel that I've mentioned, decided by that panel members, dependent on the level of abuse that you have suffered.
Yep.
What I'm going to do for you, Dan, is I'm going to put you forward for the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, as I feel as this case is worth more than £10,000 alone. Obviously, there's the medical procedure that happened to you with no explanation, so that's straight away, obviously, a medical professional doing things to you that's caused you a great deal of pain, and then obviously alongside the physical abuse that you've suffered in Fort Evier as well. For me, from my experience, this puts your case a lot more worth than just £10,000payout. Okay, so I'll do that one for you.
Okay.
And I just need to clarify with yourself as well, Dan. Have you ever received any relevant payments of compensation for the abuse suffered in care?
No, I've never spoke to anybody apart from yourself and my partner about this, ever.
Yeah. Okay, and do you have any criminal convictions at all?
Aye, but I did.
Okay.
When in my teenage years, and I think my last one, I was in my 20s, mate. I've never done anything.
Yeah, of course. Well, my next question to you is, have you ever spent 5 or more years in prison for a single offence?
No.
No, okay, that's absolutely fine then.
I've never done a sentence. I've handed my cell in a few times for fines.
Yeah. Yep, okay. Just making sure I've got all this information before I send this off to you. Okay, then, that's perfect. So what I'm going to do for you is this email that I'm going to send out to you very shortly. It's going to contain a client care letter, which is kind of the letter that you are wanting anyway. Basically, it's a hi and welcome, this is what we'll do for you. We'll also send... below that is the conditional fee agreement, which basically just explains the percentage that we'll take at the end of the process, which again, just to reiterate to you, is 19.2% including VAT. So we've kept that at less than 20% for yourself, obviously, because the money's not the factor for us. It's getting your story heard and getting the case won. That's what we aim to do for you. And then there's also a letter of authority, which basically you're giving us the right to act on your behalf in order to obtain all the relevant records to give us the best possible case to present to the Scottish Redress Scheme. And then you'll also see the part one and part two of your Scottish Redress application form, alongside two attached additional pages, which will have on each page the statements that I've written up for you.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just going to send them out to you now. Did you say that you... Did you have a problem with the text messages, did you say?
No, just sometimes my phone, since I've had an upgrade, it does some mad screening thing now, eh? I don't understand what's there. My son's had a look at it, but he can't turn it off. It's just that sometimes you send you right to my answer machine.
Ah, right, okay. I get you.
I don't know why.
It sounds like it's... do you have an iPhone?
Aye.
Yeah, I thought so. So what it sounds like is if you were to go into your settings and go into phone, it sounds like there's a thing called call forwarding. It sounds like that's been turned on. So your call is being forwarded straight to voicemail if you're doing something. That's okay. No, just obviously just a little thought. I am a little bit tech savvy, but I'm not an IT genius. But obviously, just have a look into your settings and go onto your phone, and everything should be as normal. So I'm just going to send this out to you now. You'll receive the link via the text message, and the same link will be in the emails. So if it doesn't work on one, you can always try the other.
Okay.
Just sending that out to you now. Just let me know when you have received it, so I know that you've got it.
No bother.
Yep, okay, you've got that link.
Right.
Okay, perfect. So when you open the link, there's going to be a yellow box at the bottom of the screen, which will tell you how many fields are required to sign, which is four.
Uh-huh.
What you do is just click that yellow box, and it'll take you to the signature boxes to be signed. And then once you've tapped to sign, scribbled your signature, or you can even type your signature, you click the blue button that says apply. And then you just follow them steps, click the yellow box again, and it'll take you to each signature box to sign. Once that says all fields have been complete, you scroll to the very bottom of all the documents so you can't scroll no more. Then there'll be a little tick box at the bottom that says, I confirm that the signature that I've provided is legally binding. You click that, and then next to that yellow box where it was telling you how many fields are required, there's a blue button that says submit signature. That'll only be able to be clicked once that little tick box has been clicked. And
right.
Then you can submit the signature, and then that'll come automatically back to myself. And then once I receive that back, then I can then send that application form off to the Scottish Reader Scheme to get an application number for you.
Hey, boy, do you want to stay on or time date now? Or?
Yeah, if that's okay with yourself, I can offer any assistance. Yeah, fire away.
Yeah, I should be able to do it. I've done DocuSign before, but okay, I'll tell you, I'm going to click on it now.
Yep, okay.
I confirm my electronic signature.
So you won't be able to tick that one until you've done all your signatures.
Right, okay, and required fields.
Yep, so so click that yellow box, and it'll take you to each signature box. Everything going okay for you so far?
Aye, I'm just trying to scroll doing this thing. Sorry, I'm on my phone doing it, so...
Yeah, no, that's okay.
I've done two here, I'm looking for the third one now.
That's okay, if you press that yellow box, it'll take you to each single
all right,
box.
Alright.
Just saves you trying to scroll
that's
through.
Apply, one required, great. Thanks for that.
Perfect. No, it's okay. Yeah, because I think from between the second and third signature, I think there is a couple of pages. So
right, that's all done now. So that's the forum. Just what I confirm.
Yeah. So click right to the very bottom of them documents, so you can't scroll no more, and then that's
right.
When you'll be able to tick that box to say you confirm that your signature is legally binding.
Submit
signature, and then it'll come up with a page saying verifying.
Verify. Signature completed.
There you go, yeah. So that should be coming back to me any second now. Just bear with me. There you go, yeah. I've received the documents. So that's perfect, Darren. So what I'll do is, let's just see. Do you have WhatsApp, do you?
I hope I.
Yep, okay. I'll send you a message on WhatsApp just with the acceptable forms of ID that we accept. And then, yeah, just reply back with the documents that you said you were going to send to me. Just reply back as like a picture message or whatever. And I'll upload them to your case file, and then everything will be complete, ready to be moved forward once we've got your application number back from the scheme.
All right, then, no bother. I'll do that
okay.
Right away. As soon as you send the message over, I'll send was it a letter and a passport, innit?
Yeah, that's perfect.
No
bother. Before I let you go, Dan, any questions for me at all?
No problem. Thanks very much for your help.
No, not a problem, Dan. Thank you very much for answering the phone and opening up with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, so thank you.
You too, pal. Thanks.
Okay.
You're very good. Cheers.
Thank you very much, Dan. Have a lovely day.
You too. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye now.